Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Kelly Rossman McKinney. Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in our next guest, Susan J. Demas, who writes Capital Chronicles and also contributes to Dome Magazine and MERS newsletter, and you can read her stuff in just about every newspaper in the state. Hello, Susan. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Jack?
Well, I'm sure you're better than I sound, but I want to talk a little bit about the piece that you wrote this week, Laughing While Your House Burns Down. And maybe this explains something about the lack of sensitivity as a society in some cases, not all cases, but in many cases, I think we have become desensitized to those around us.
Yeah, I mean, look, I hate to generalize. I mean, let's face it, we're a really big country with over 300 million people. So, yeah, you can't say that everybody has just become callous. I mean, that'd be unfair. But, yeah, there are a lot of instances out there that are pretty disturbing. I don't know if people heard about that incident in Tennessee with the house.
The Kranich family and their subscription fee?
Right, right.
$75 subscription fee that they had not paid to the fire department, who became spectators as the house burned down.
Can I just ask a dumb question?
Yeah.
Since when do you have to have a subscription to have your house protected for?
That's a great question. And Kelly, as you know, a lot of governments are going broke. And so sometimes they don't have enough money to cover basic services like when your house is burning down. So residents are expected to pay for it.
Well, you know what? Can I just put a point out there? Number one, I've talked with a couple of city managers who point out that in general, firefighters end up, even though they put the fire out, the house isn't necessarily saved. The foundation may be saved, but the water damage, smoke damage, et cetera, it's more to protect the rest of the building surrounding the house. And, you know, cops who don't always love firefighters say they never met a basement they couldn't save, which is, you know, I mean, the bottom line is, so I think one of the things, and I was really startled in talking with this one city manager who, it never dawned on me, oh, duh, of course there's significant water damage. It never dawned on me. You're not really saving the house.
Right.
But all that's a side issue, because the point of your column, Susan, was since when did we get so insensitive that we mock the unfortunes or misfortunes of others?
Yeah. And, you know, so this family lost everything. And, you know, there were lots of reactions from people like Glenn Beck and, you know, people at the American Family Association who said, well, these people have what they got. They got what they had coming to them, and we shouldn't feel sorry. And, you know, there's been some weird justifications by people that, you know, it's really not Christian to wish that people would be taken care of with their basic needs, you know. It's just bizarre to me.
But you know,
what about this statement? Firefighters did the Christian thing in letting the house burn to the ground.
I'm not a theologian. Right, I'm not a theologian, but I can't say I ever recall getting that lesson out of the Bible myself.
Exactly. You know, though, can I just point out, first of all, this was in the state of Tennessee. I can't imagine in my wildest imagination that anything remotely like that would happen in the state of Michigan. There are so many times when people have had unfortunate situations, and people in Michigan, not just the Lansing area, but across the state, we really step up and help others out. You see it time and time and time again. From in the Lansing area, the tragic accidents that killed teenagers and family members last weekend, where people really step up and provide money to help pay for funeral services, et cetera. This is despite the economic doldrums that so many people in our state are experiencing. People step up and they reach into their pocketbooks and they help their fellow men and women. And so I think that Tennesseans may just be misguided, Susan.
Well,
that's my theory.
The thing is when your house is burning down, you kind of need the equipment that a fire department has, and most of us don't have that at our disposal. So that's where the experts come in. With budget situations being what they are, I would not be surprised if you see communities trying to prevent themselves from going broke start to charge fees here in Michigan. I that would not surprise me.
Well, I guess the most laughable part of this is be laughable unless you're the Kranichs, is that they offered to pay this on the spot while the house was burning, and they refused the money. Apparently, it was late.
The only time that the firefighters actually took action was when the house next door caught fire, and they had paid their $75, so they stepped in and saved that house.
You know, pardon me if I missed my ride on the privatization train here, but I thought that's what something called taxes were supposed to do. Are we so averse to paying taxes for anything from a societal standpoint that now everyone is on their own, and if you need police help, you better be sure that you paid for it? Well, you have an a la carte menu?
Well, not only that, you know, I got to tell you, anyone who has signed up to fight fires would have to be physically restrained from doing their job. I mean, I know way too many people who feel absolutely committed to doing what they were trained to do, money be damned. So clearly somebody somewhere made the call and said, you will not fight this fire. So who is that moron?
Well, I'm guessing it was the mayor or city council or, you know, whatever the local government was that made that call. But, you know, there's the old quote that taxes are the price we pay for a civilized society. I don't think anybody acted very civil in this case.
That's a really good point.
I don't know that many people who have gone downtown to City Hall and said, you know what, please raise my taxes.
Well,
sure.
But.
I just want to make a point. I think it's really important to remember that in this state, in August, people across the state went to the polls and did vote in large numbers for local millages for things like public transit, county road commissions, school bond issues, more so than they really historically have done. And I think it's
specific
a real
targeted
reflection.
Things, though, that they wanted done.
Yeah, and it's a real reflection on, I think, people in Michigan recognize, okay, the state can't fix it. We're going to step up and do it ourselves. And in fact, the State Journal, in the last 4 days, every single day they've editorialized in support of a millage or a tax increase, something I don't think I've ever seen before. And it's a clear recognition that, you know what, the state can't fix this on a broad scale, so we're going to fix our own communities and make it right here at home.
And you know about the infrastructure situation in the state and transportation and what has to be done to improve the roads. And if something doesn't happen, we're just going to deal with the consequences.
Well, that's a good point on these local taxation issues. You know, what we hear from the legislature is that, oh, no, we can never raise taxes, but on the local level, to make ends meet because they're not getting the funding from the state, they are raising taxes to try and cover basic expenses. I would point out that we do have some pretty extreme situations here in Michigan. Pontiac is dissolving its police department, and I don't think anybody thinks that Pontiac is a city that can afford less police protection.
No.
There's a lot of crime up there.
Yeah.
What are they doing, having the contracting with the Oakland County Sheriff's Department to do that?
Right.
Well, you know what's interesting? That's almost an approach to consolidation of services, which
it can
ends
be,
up...
It can also be... it can also decrease service, too, because certainly the Oakland County Sheriff isn't, drowning in money itself. So right. they only have so many resources.
I thought you were going to say they had vigilante patrols riding around the neighborhoods.
Well, they probably do.
Probably do.
I mean, there are a lot of folks who truly believe that that is their right and their role and responsibility. I don't think it's necessarily right, but I am minding my P's and Q's.
Susan, I want to ask you a question that we asked Kelly and Bill Ballinger earlier in the show. I want you to put yourself in the shoes of a statewide Republican and statewide Democratic candidate, and you can have anyone come in and campaign with you in the last 3 weeks. Who are you choosing if you are a Republican, and who are you choosing if you're a Democrat?
That's a very interesting question. Well, you know, Bill Clinton seems to be extremely popular as a Democrat right now. Obama's numbers are not bad in Michigan. I haven't seen Clinton's numbers, but I'm guessing they're higher. He's out of office. We're nostalgic. So, you know, we've forgotten all the bad things. The 90s look really good right now with
Monica
what we're dealing
who?
With with the economy. Right. So I'd say he'd be a good pick. I think he's awfully busy. For a Republican, you know, those polarizing figures like Sarah Palin that the base loves, that's a strategy you can go. But, you know, as far as getting the mainstream public, she's not all that popular. So I think it depends what your strategy is. You know, as far as a Republican figure that has broad appeal, there really aren't that many of them left right now. It's pretty much people who appeal to that Tea Party sentiment.
And I should have clarified this, Kelly, because you raised a very good point about Sarah Palin. Her followers are fanatic in their loyalty to her. And if you're trying to raise money at the last minute,
yeah.
she would be a tremendous person to bring in to fatten your account.
I'm telling you, the Mama Grizzly. The Mama
yeah,
Grizzly.
She has not expressed any interest in Michigan, even though she loved us so much during 08.
Yeah.
I think Rick Snyder is just not her kind of guy.
Well, and I'm not sure she's the right gal for Rick Snyder.
Well, we know one thing.
Yeah.
Tim Walberg is not going to ask for Joe Schwartz.
No, evidently not.
Susan, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Susan J. Demas, and you can read Capital Chronicles at MLive or just about any newspaper around the state. Absolutely great stuff.